Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Driving Me Crazy, coming to you live from Beechtree Studios near beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina. This is the only show where a husband and wife drive, talk cars and life, and still love one another each day. Here's John and Laurie. Or is it Laurie and John? Oh, take it away, you crazy kids.
Well, I think it's Laurie and John. Sometimes it's John and Laurie, but either way, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to make the broadcast today. So hopefully next week they'll be able to do so. So I just needed to tell you that before we get started. So my name is Hezzy Aris, and I'm your host today. And we don't have any other guests planned. So we're going to cover a lot of international news, but we'll begin here in the United States. The U.S. evidently has raised interest rates despite troubles in the banking industry. It seems that stock fell sharply yesterday after the Federal Reserve indicated the end may be near for its economy-crunching hikes to interest rates, but it also doesn't expect to cut rates anytime soon, despite Wall Street's hopes. Well, the Standard & Poor's 500 fell 1.6% for its first drop in 3 days. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 530 points, or 1.6%, while the NASDAQ Composite dropped 1.6% as well. Now, some of the sharpest drops came again from the banking industry, where investors are worried about the possibility of more banks failing if customers pull out their money all at once. They said after they slid after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that she's not considering blanket protection for all depositors at all banks unless they present a risk to the overall system. Stocks have been little changed for much of the day before the Fed raised its key rate by a quarter of a percentage point in its campaign to drive down inflation. Well, the move was exactly what Wall Street was expecting. The bigger question was where the Fed is heading next. There, the Fed gave a hint it may not hike rates much more as it assesses the fallout from the banking industry crisis. Instead of repeating its statement that ongoing increases will be appropriate, the Fed said on Wednesday that it now only sees, quote, some additional policy firming may be appropriate. Chair Jerome Powell emphasized the shift to, quote, may, end quote, from will, quote, end quote. Well, the Fed also released the latest set of projections from its policymakers on where rates are heading in upcoming years. The median forecast had the Fed fund rate sitting at 5.1% at the end of this year, up only a smidge from where it currently sits in a range of 4.75 to 5%. That's also the same level as seen in December, and it's counter to worries in the market that it could rise given how stubborn high inflation has remained. That helps to send yields slumping in the bond market, which has been home to some of the wildest action this month. The yield on the two-year treasury, which tends to track expectations for the Fed, tumbled to 3.96% from 4.13% just before the projections were released. It was above 5% earlier this month. Some of this month's slide also came from building hopes for rate cuts later this year by the Fed. And such cuts can boost prices for stocks, bonds, and other investments while giving the economy more room to breathe. They also, though, can give inflation more fuel. Powell said Wednesday that the Fed is still focused on getting inflation down to its 2% goal and that it is not envisioning any rate cut this year. He also said the Fed could bring raising rates again, rates again, even after it takes a pause if high inflation makes that necessary. And that took some momentum out of the market. economic indicators are still pretty resilient, said Samir Samana, who's a senior global market strategist for Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Quote, for markets to still speculate on rate cuts, it's probably not going to take place this year if the Fed has its way. Quote, there were a good dozen or so instances where we kept bringing it back to inflation. For better or worse, he was pretty consistent. The Fed was stuck with a difficult decision as it balanced whether to keep hiking rates to drive down inflation or ease off the increases given the pain it's already caused for the banking industry, which could drag down the rest of the economy. The second and third largest U.S. bank failures in history have both occurred in the last 2 weeks. A worry is that too much pressure on the banking system, particularly among the smaller and mid-sized banks at the center of investors' crosshairs, could or would mean fewer loans made to businesses across the country. That, in turn, could mean less hiring and less economic activity, raising the risk of a recession that many economists already see as high. Powell said such a pullback in lending could act almost like a rate hike on its own. And that was one of the reasons the Fed opted to raise by only 0.25 points on Wednesday instead of the 0.50 points. He also said that he sees the banking system overall as strong and sound. Markets around the world have pinballed sharply this month on worries the banking system may be cracking under the pressure of much higher rates. They found some strength recently after Yellen, Treasury Secretary, indicated on Tuesday that the government may back depositors at more weakened banks if the system is at risk. And that would or could mean making sure even customers with more than $250,000 limit insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation can get all their money. On Wednesday, though, Yellen said that she wasn't considering blanket protection for all depositors at all banks, only for those, quote, when it's deemed to be a systemic crisis or risk. Stocks of smaller and mid-sized banks fell sharply. First Republic Bank dropped 15.5%, and Pacific West Bancorp fell 17.1%. Some of the biggest excitement was around what are called meme stocks. GameStop shot up 35.2% after it reported a surprise profit for its last quarter, and analysts were expecting another loss with a struggling video game retailer. While the stock rocketed and rocked Wall Street in early 2021, when hordes of smaller, pocketed, and novice investors piled into it, sending its price surging and inflicting big losses on hedge funds that had bet on its decline. All told, the Standard & Poor's fell 65.90 points to 39.36.97. The Dow dropped 530.49 points to 32,030.11. And the NASDAQ fell 190.15 to 11,669.96. So those are some of the big issues, you know, that are taking place. Now, one second, let's move on to some other issues. Bear with me a moment here. Okay, now let's move on to Russia. Evidently, arresting Putin would be a declaration of war, says a former Russian president. It seems like former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said on Thursday that any attempt to arrest Vladimir Putin abroad after the International Criminal Court issued a warrant against him for war crimes would be seen by Moscow as a, quote, declaration of war, end quote, following all that that's going on, we're going to have to find out what else is happening. So One second. Okay. Let me just move on to the next page because I needed to check something else out here. One moment. One second here. Well, let's look at what's happening with regard to TikTok. Evidently, TikTok chief is facing a grilling in the United States Congress as a ban looms. Seems that TikTok CEO Xiaoyi Chu will fight for the survival of the hugely popular video sharing app in the United States on Thursday as he faces skeptical Washington lawmakers over the company's alleged ties to the Chinese government. The 40-year-old Singaporean will address the powerful House Energy and Commerce Committee at 10 o'clock this morning and endure hours of serious grilling by both Republican and Democrat who feared that Beijing could subvert the site for spying or to push propaganda. TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance, B-Y-T-E-D-A-N-C-E, and is under immense pressure across Western countries, with government officials in Washington, the United Kingdom, and Canada forced to delete the app from their devices. Well, the app's gravest threat is from the United States, where the administration of President Joe Biden has set an ultimatum that the company either dump its Chinese ownership or face an outright ban. A ban would be an unprecedented act on a media company by the U.S. government, cutting off 150 million monthly users in the country from an application that has become a cultural powerhouse, especially for young people, and the nation's most viewed source of online entertainment after Netflix. Let me state this unequivocally. ByteDance is not an agent of China or any other country, Chu had said, according to prepared remarks released ahead of the House committee hearing. TikTok has never shared or received a request to share U.S. user data with the Chinese government, nor would TikTok honor such a request if one ever were ever made, Chu will add in his opening statement. Despite his assurances, the cards in Washington seem to be dealt against Chu, with several pieces of legislation, including one bill backed by the White House, already paving the way for a ban of the app. Americans deserve to know the extent to which their privacy is jeopardized and their data is manipulated by ByteDance-owned TikTok's relationship with China, Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is the chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee, had said. What's worse, we know big tech companies like TikTok use harmful algorithms to exploit children for profit and expose them to dangerous content online, added the Republican. In the final months of his term, former President Donald Trump also attempted to ban the app, but his effort was ultimately blocked by a U.S. judge. A potential sale to Microsoft or spinoff to Oracle never got off the ground due to opposition in China. Well, the commerce industry, the ministry rather, in Beijing on Thursday said that it would firmly oppose a forced sale, underlying that any sale or spinoff of TikTok would require approval by Chinese authorities. Forcing the sale of TikTok will seriously undermine the confidence of investors from various countries, including China, to invest in the United States, added spokesperson Xu Jueqing. In a TikTok post earlier this week, Xu asked U.S. users to defend their favorite app by sharing what you love, quote-unquote, about the platform with elected representatives. On Wednesday, a group of around a dozen teenagers, teachers, and business owners rallied at the U.S. Capitol to express their opposition to a potential ban. Are there other platforms out there? Absolutely, I'm on them, but none of them have the reach that TikTok has. Aspiring soap making entrepreneur at Country Laser 2020 told her 70,000 followers in a video recorded after she arrived in Washington. A sale, even if all parties agreed, would be very complicated. The success of the platform is due to its powerful recommendation algorithm and, quote, separating the algorithm between TikTok and ByteDance is like a Siamese twins operation, analyst Dan Ives of Wedbush told Agent Thrawn's press. Well, TikTok still hopes to appease the authorities. Chu's testimony will promote the company's elaborate plan, known as Project Texas, to satisfy national security concerns, under which the handling of U.S. data will be ring-fenced into a U.S.-run division. Tell the lawmakers that TikTok has already spent $1.5 billion on the project and hired 1,500 U.S.-based staff to launch it. So we're going to find out what goes on with that. That's going to be a monumental move. Okay. Now let's look at some other issues. The International Monetary Fund has warned that Lebanon is at a very dangerous moment. The crisis hit Lebanon is at a very dangerous moment, a visiting International Monetary Fund delegation said on Thursday, criticizing slow progress on reforms needed to unlock billions in loans. Lebanon and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, reached a conditional agreement in April of 2022 on a $3 billion loan needed to save the country's economy in freefall since 2019. But nearly a year after Beirut signed the agreement, officials have yet to enact the substantial changes required to kickstart the 46-month financing program. We think Lebanon is at a very dangerous moment at a crossroads, said Ernesto Ramirez Rigo, who headed the IMF delegation in Beirut, warning the continued, quote, policy of inaction is going to leave Lebanon in a never-ending crisis, end quote. Continuing, the time has gone by. It's almost a year since we have reached an agreement, Rigo added, urging leaders to implement the reforms swiftly. In September, the International Monetary Fund had already condemned Beirut's very slow progress on implementing these reforms. The country is in a significant crisis. One would have expected a lot more in terms of implementation, Rigo had said. Lebanon's meltdown has pushed most of the population into poverty, while the political elite, widely blamed for the country's financial collapse, has failed to take action. Since last year, the country has had no president and only a caretaker government, amid persistent deadlock between rival factions, while the country plunges deeper into a crisis dubbed by the World Bank as one of the worst in recent global history. Well, the International Monetary Fund had conditioned the funds on a series of measures, notably unifying the country's plethora of exchange rates, a reformed bank secrecy law, as well as restructuring the banking sector and the implementation of formal capital controls. He said any solution for Lebanon must include an adjustment of fiscal policies, quote unquote, addressing, quote, banking sector losses, end quote, and strengthen anti-corruption measures. Well, Lebanese banks have imposed draconian withdrawal restrictions, essentially locking depositors out of their life savings. As reforms drag, the market value of the Lebanese pound reached historic lows against the U.S. dollar this month, prompting hundreds to take to the streets and protest deteriorating living conditions on Wednesday. Well, the pound has been fluctuating at more than 100,000 against the greenback, a dizzying plunge from 1,507 before the economic crisis hit in 2019. So 1,507 before the economic crisis, and now it's 100,000 in today's time. Lebanon defaulted on a foreign debt for the first time in 2020. So activist group Guluna Irada, which met with the IMF delegation, denounced, quote, a lack of real intention to reform, end quote, on behalf of Lebanon's ruling class in a statement on Tuesday. So evidently that's a problem. The powers that be still are holding on to everything, and nothing's changing because of it. Unbelievable. One second here. I'm going to move on. One second. This you might find interesting. The DNA from Beethoven's hair evidently has provided clues to his cause of death. Ludwig von Beethoven died in Vienna nearly 200 years ago, after a lifetime of composing some of the most influential works in classical music. Ever since, biographers have sought to explain the causes of the German composer's death at the age of 56, his progressive hearing loss, and his struggles with chronic illness. An international team of researchers who sequenced Beethoven's genome using authenticated locks of his hair may now have some answers. Liver failure or cirrhosis was a likely cause of Beethoven's death, brought about by a number of factors, including his alcohol consumption, they said. We looked at possible genetic causes of his three main system complexes, the progressive hearing loss, the gastrointestinal symptoms, and the liver disease, ultimately leading to his death through liver failure, said Marcus Nothen of the Institute of Human Genetics at the University Hospital of Bonn in Germany, one of the co-authors. Well, Beethoven, Nothen had said, had a strong genetic disposition to liver disease, and sequences of the hepatitis B virus were detected in his hair. We believe the disease arose from an interplay of genetic disposition, well-documented chronic alcohol consumption, and hepatitis B infection, Nothen had said. Well, Johannes Krause of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology said that hepatitis B was probably quite common at that time in the early 19th century. At least in the last few months before his death, he was infected with hepatitis B virus, Krause had said. The authors of the study, published in the Cell Press journal Current Biology on Wednesday, were unable to determine any genetic causes for the progressive hearing loss that eventually left Beethoven completely deaf by 1818. Well, the researchers analyzed 8 locks of hair said to be from Beethoven and determined that 5 of them were almost certainly authentic, said Tristan Begg, a PhD student at the University of Cambridge and the lead author of the study. Because we reconstructed the genome from a short, ultra-short DNA fragments, we only confidently mapped about 2/3 of it, he said. Well, one of the most famous strands of hair, known as the Hiller lock, which has been the subject of previous research and found to contain high levels of lead, was revealed not to be from Beethoven at all, but from a woman. Beethoven, who was born in Bonn, Germany, in 1770 and died in 1827, battled gastrointestinal problems at various times of his life, as well as jaundice. There were periods of acute illness where he was unable to work, for example. His long-month period of acute illness in the spring of 1825, Begg had said. Well, the researchers, by studying Beethoven's DNA data and archival documents, also uncovered a discrepancy in his legal and biological genealogy. They found an extra pair paternity event, a child resulting from an extramarital relationship in Beethoven's direct paternal line, said Tomas Kivisid of the Institute of Genomics at the University of Tartu. Kivisid said that it occurred sometime within seven generations that separate a common ancestor. Alert von Beethoven at the end of the 16th century and Beethoven's birth in 1970. Beck said that it was no surprise it was not recorded. You wouldn't necessarily expect an extra pair of paternity event to be documented, he said, it being probably clandestine in nature. You cannot rule out that Beethoven himself may have been illegitimate, Beck had said. I'm not advocating that, he stressed. I'm simply saying that's a possibility and you have to consider it. Beethoven had asked in an 1802 letter to his brother that his health problems, particularly his hearing loss, be described after his death. He had the wish to be studied post-mortem, Krause had said, and it is kind of basically his wish that we are fulfilling to some degree with this project. So very, very compelling, to say the least. Now let's look at some other things which you may find interesting. One moment here. Let's first look at Israel. Israel has passed a law protecting prime minister from removal. It seems that Israeli lawmakers have passed legislation that drastically narrows the circumstances required to remove Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or a successor from office. Israel's parliament, the Knesset, on Thursday passed legislation that would significantly limit the conditions under which Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu could be deemed unfit to govern. The law, the first of several set to overhaul the judiciary, is believed to have be intended to stop the Supreme Court or the Attorney General's office from the Supreme Court. So the law, the first. Okay, well, Israeli parliament, the Knesset, on Thursday passed a legislation that would limit the condition under which Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu could be deemed unfit to govern. The law, the first of several set to overhaul the judiciary, is believed to be intended to stop the Supreme Court or the Attorney General's office from influencing possible impeachment. So what the law entails: the legislation stipulates that a three-quarters majority in Parliament or the Cabinet would be needed to remove a Prime Minister from office, and only for psychological or other health reasons. It was approved by the 120 Knesset in a 61-47 vote, with the remaining lawmakers either absent or abstaining from the vote. And okay. Well, it looks like that's where we are today. Just quickly look. I think that's the circumstance there. All right. Now let's look at something else that you may find interesting. Clarifying the German colonial era atrocities in Tanzania. The process of coming to terms with German colonial era crimes in Tanzania is intended to strengthen relations. two countries are also in talks on reparations. Activists and historians have helped to keep the memory of German colonialism alive over the past 100 years. Their debates about restitution and reparations for colonial injustices have put the issue on the political agenda in countries such as Namibia. Tanzania, once part of German East Africa, and the scene of colonial era atrocities, had been relatively quiet until now. It is by no means too late. Politicians in the two countries want to work towards clarifying and making right on the events of the past. The return of the human remains of countless colonial war heroes to Lebanon, or rather to Tanzania, is on the cards. These are still stored in German museums, along with culture objects, so-called looted art. It is by no means too late for this project. Tanzanian historian Philemon Mtoi said, "The time is right to connect, to reconcile, to build a common future." So that seems to be the case. Oh, we're at a crossroads. Okay. All right, I guess that's about it. All right, so we're going to wish you a good Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow and round up the week. So until then, have a great day, and thank you for being with us. Always a pleasure. Goodbye.